This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
20,000 plus cannot be wrong. That was the attendance yesterday. Last night's AA State Minnesota State Hockey Championship game. Congrats to the Moorhead Spuds, who beat Stillwater in a phenomenal game. Earlier in the day, East Grand Forks beat St. Cloud Cathedral in overtime. I have to tell you this, and I watch this tournament most years, but I literally watched almost every single game of the state high school tournament this year. And it was so entertaining. It's just so incredible, not only what these kids can do, but the quality and the level of hockey that they're playing. Pete, I don't know how much of it you watched, but last night's game was amazing. It was just, it's so much fun to see. My favorite thing about the state hockey tournament is seeing all these towns and all these little, you know, you've got the Northfields in there this year. Laverne was in it for the first time. I believe it was the first time. Moorhead's back for the first time in a long time to win their first title ever. And these towns just clear out. It's so great. They clear out and they come down to St. Paul for as long as they can hang out. It's awesome.
How great is the support, right? I mean, yeah. I think that to your point, and this goes way back. I think last week we were talking about this, Dave, when we were looking forward to this entire thing happening and all the people that are going to come down there into St. Paul, and it's phenomenal, and it's been going on forever. It is the most exciting thing. It's Texas football, except for it's up here. It's Minnesota hockey, and they packed the center. It's unbelievable how many people actually show up. Can you imagine the commerce, the money that's coming into St. Paul when you've got that kind of group?
It's massive.
Yeah, and we had all these out-state type play schools that were there. It just made it that much more fun. Did I get a chance to see a lot of it in person? No, I was down in Florida, but I actually was staying up with it because a gentleman that I was with down there, he owns a team down there in Florida. It's one of these teams, and it's really great. So he was really excited about it as well. But it's amazing what these guys do, and I kept up on social media with all the hair flow and all the things that are all about this whole tournament. It is so much fun, and these guys make it better and better and better every year.
It's interesting too, and there was definitely a very strong theme this week from coaches, from commentators, from media in general, that as good as the high school hockey tournament is, there's a bit of protection that needs to start happening. And this is true. And there was an article, I think it was last week, in the Star Tribune about some of these schools, these first ring schools and city schools, Pete, they no longer have hockey.
Yeah.
You know, the Bloomington, Jefferson, and Kennedy schools, for the first time ever next year, they're going to combine. You've got schools in Minneapolis now that combine. I think the Minneapolis City combines five or six different teams.
Yeah.
St. Paul is now combining teams. And so there is a bit of, I don't want to say under attack, because I think that's a little much, but there is a danger to what this is becoming. And yes, the easy answer is always, and what everyone's going to go back to, is hockey's it's too expensive. It's too expensive. You can't get in. And I don't disagree with that. As a kid, as a parent of two kids who played hockey, one played for just a little while and coached it, yes, hockey is expensive. But every association that out there, I think at this point, you can apply for some scholarship money. Mm-hmm. I think to me the bigger issue here is that hockey is no longer being introduced in some of these areas, so that the supply of players coming in, and again, it comes down to money. I get it. And there are more things coming in the future here that hopefully will help fix that. But hockey is no longer, other than, and the article in the Star Tribune refers to them as first ring schools, which I imagine, Pete, makes sense to you. It's those city schools, right, where you started, where you grew up
in
high school.
Yeah, it's amazing, Dave, and what you're saying is so true. Think about all the different teams, you know, and I'm going back all the way. I mean, it's a long time. I'm an old guy these days. I mean, I'm 60 years old, so it's 40 plus years going back to high school. But some of the powers, like Roosevelt, used to be an unbelievable power in hockey. Southwest was great. Washburn was extremely good.
Isn't Southwest where Chorsky went, the first Minnesota hockey ever?
I think so.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, multiple different great players coming out of those cities. Schools. Henry High School had a big kid who played tight end, and he was a heck of a hockey player.
Yeah, he went to Southwest High School. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, but you're right. I mean, and the problem is, as you said, the affordability is part of the issue. I think that there's also just a change in what we see within the city and the kids that are going to other sports other than hockey. And it's, you know, that part's a shame. But if it's money, I sure would love to see the guys that were able to benefit from whatever they had in their past, and financially they're doing well. Maybe they're with the Wild. Maybe they're with, you know, some other pro team on the hockey side of things. But it would be great to see a little bit of money kind of thrown at this whole thing just to kind of keep it going, Dave, because sad. It's sad to think that those schools just don't exist as individuals anymore. It's all one, just the Minneapolis League.
And being able to play for your school in that league was probably is very exciting. And there's pro, right? There are ways coming. There are groups dedicated to making sure that this happened. I think about the Dynamites, you know, making sure that those kids have somewhere to go play hockey and to have mentorship, which is important. The Wild Foundation is doing the Skate It Forward initiative and hoping one day to be able to pay for kids and their first year of youth hockey all over the state of Minnesota. That's a long ways away, though. But there are programs that focus on these things, because truly the high school hockey landscape is changing rapidly. And even now, you know, in this tournament, you're always going to have the Edinas, and everyone, you know, we're getting calls. We're getting texts in here. Everyone hates Edina. I
don't know if that's really true. I mean,
I have trouble hating kids. You know, I mean, they're just kids. But it's just so interesting that you know, no matter what happens, it's always Edina. But I could think about as I was walking around the tournament the other day and watching it is, I just hope, and I'm not trying to be an alarmist, but it would be so sad to me if 10, 20 years from now, this tournament wasn't what it is now. That for some reason, the inflow or whatever happens, it's not happening anymore. Because it really is. It's truly the biggest sporting event of the weekend in an area where you have four professional sports.
Yeah. It's one
and
of the
everyone's
biggest,
watching state hockey,
and it's one of the biggest. And you know, when you think about it, and you divide the country up into all these different pieces. Yeah, you've got basketball here, you've got football over here. This is hockey, man. I mean, you know, Michigan can say what they want, Wisconsin can say what they want, the Dakotas can say what they want. Minnesota is high school hockey.
It is. Yeah, you got 20,000 people in there on a Saturday night, and by the way, to get in the door for that game on the Saturday night, you had to buy tickets like 20 years ago. I mean.
Yeah, it was kind of a black market thing. Honestly, there's people on my Twitter feed that were trying. Yeah. They're like, does anybody have an extra ticket for tonight?
People
because it was so sought after.
No chance.
The idea that you can't just walk up to the X and go, I'd like two tickets for the night session.
Good luck.
First of all, you're going to get in a line that goes a mile. Yeah, and if you're lucky, there's some left.
They showed it. It goes all the way to the end of the – well, at least to get it's in incredible. To the start of the day, it was all the way to the end of the River Center. It was
all the way down. Drive.
It's all the way all down around. To Mancini's, yeah, man. Yeah.
You know what? If it's that far, just go into Mancini's get a good steak or whatever. What did they bring us at the fair last year?
They were
meatballs.
So great. Meatballs were Holy great. Cow. Oh, I love John those Mancini and those guys. They're great.
All right. We're working on some special guests, so we'll hopefully have that for you. I'm not going to give it all away, but I will tell you and set you up here that Jesse Pierce will join us in this first hour to talk a little Minnesota Wild hockey, talk about what they did or did not do at the deadline. And coming up next, John Ammerman's going to join us from the Moorhead Spuds. They won the 2A state championship last night. We'll talk to him about what it means for the city of Moorhead. And I want to ask him about the goal. I believe it was in the semifinal game that one of his players scored. It was the greatest hockey goal I'd ever seen. We'll talk about that with John Ammerman coming up next.
10 seconds left. Swept towards Stenjum. Wide in the corner. Picked up Jarvis. Out in front. Far side. The wait is over. Moorhead finally the champs.
That is the final call last night from 45 KSTC Channel 45 Television. And joining us right now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline is John Ammerman, head coach for the Moorhead Spuds. Coach, congratulations on the championship. And I first want to ask you, because we'll never understand what it means and what it's like to stand on the bench with 1 second left and seeing your team is up after the year and put everything in. Put in perspective for me, for our listeners, what was that moment like for you?
Well, first, thanks for having me on. I think it goes back even prior to the season. Our group of kids had some previous success when they were younger, and about a year ago, things ended a little quicker than they would have hoped, but good on them for doubling down, for recommitting, and for having a tremendous season. It was really fun, obviously, to be a part of it, at least from my perspective. And a really fun night, a little too exciting. From the Moorhead side of things, after the game, we headed over to a hotel that a lot of Moorhead alumni and supporters visit, and it was pretty awesome to see them and for our kids to be able to interact and be a part of that. Long time coming, but those last 50 seconds or whatever seemed like a pretty long time. So,
Coach, I got to tell you, it's got to be one of the greatest feelings in the world. I mean, I was looking, and you were born and raised up there in Moorhead, and here you are now leading this team and getting this opportunity. It's amazing to me how well the group of folks that got out there and put this whole thing together with the hockey tournament. You guys were number one. Stillwater was number two. You ended up being right there against one another. Tell us a little bit about how even this year really was when you get to the finals, and you've got the schools that deserve to be there, and they looked like put in the right positions, right? I mean, it looked like they ranked everybody almost perfectly.
Yeah, 100%. But, you can check out those results from game to game. And obviously, 1 through 8, it was tight. Every single game for us was a little too close for comfort and had a little bit of a different story. But, an outstanding tournament, start to finish. And obviously, it's a little more fun when you end up the winner, for sure.
John Ammerman, head coach of the Moorhead Spuds, joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. John, I want to ask you specifically about Mason Kraft and Brooks Cullen, two guys on your roster who obviously were committed, staying, playing at Moorhead all the way through. There's a lot of what could be potential distractions for them with their dads playing and not making it. But how did you not only keep them focused, or did you have to keep them focused on just playing this season and just playing their game of hockey, because they're both so incredibly talented?
No, I give them a ton of credit. It wasn't a distraction at all. These are kids that throughout their youth hockey, they found ways to win, and that was the same this year, that you know, and even you saw this week, the people that, tuned in, we were able to win defensive battles like against Edina where it's tight and tight checking and then up and down the ice and a wild one last night. So our kids were committed. And I know there's all those cliches, committed to the process, trust the process, all those things. But, you know, we've never been on this side of it. And obviously there's some truth to it. They were outstanding. Our seniors, especially, you mentioned a couple of them, Mason and Brooks and a few others, were just outstanding leaders. And we had a lot of guys contribute at different times. Obviously, Mason had a very special tournament. Zach Zimmerman was outstanding. But through and through, it was a total team effort, and it was really fun to see them come together and be resilient throughout the week.
Hey, Coach, I'm curious, what do you think about this whole thing where we're seeing entire cities having to come together, having just that one team? What can we do to make sure that we preserve the fact that we do have hockey? It seems like it's just shrinking and shrinking, and I was just hearing back from a friend just was tweeting to me. He was saying, hey, Pete, St. Paul Johnson's program just ended last week. They're going to have to be combined with Highland Park. I mean, that's what's going on all around the state of Minnesota. We know that. But is there something that you see out there that can prevent that from happening? I know it's an expensive sport, so we all know that. But is there something that you see that you think could be a suggestion for this to maybe not have to be so confined down like the city of Minneapolis?
Well, you know, to be frank, any type of youth activity can be expensive, right? I have kids in dance, and that time commitment
me too.
cost. I mean, it's wild, right? But it's what you get. I think the biggest thing is entry, right? Access to entry, and everybody knows that's a part of the sport, how special it can be. And once you get a family that might not be a traditional hockey family into it, after a year or two, they're hooked. And one thing that we have going in Moorhead is we have a foundation called the Tobalt Foundation that helps cut the cost for our first-year players and all the way up to 8U. You know, and I know that there are different initiatives like that throughout. We're really fortunate in Minnesota with community-based hockey and community-based rinks and the commitment to that side of things. I think the Wild are doing their best right now to put together a few things, but it's definitely going to be a group effort. And I think getting outside of our comfort zone and welcoming more people to the sport, gaining access, and letting them know how great of a sport it can be.
John, I'm so excited to have you here because I've wanted to ask you about this since I saw it happen. And I want to go back to the game against Edina when Zach Zimmerman scores that goal. And I've played hockey for probably 40 years. I've watched it for just as long. I don't know that I've ever seen a shot with that degree of difficulty go in. And I'm watching it again. He's by the goal line. He shoots it short side above in a window, probably not much bigger than the puck. have you ever seen anything like that with him? And just how does this speak into the bigger kind of theme of your team and how skilled your players were? I was just so impressed with the skill level of these guys.
Yeah, you know, Zach obviously had an outstanding tournament, and both him and Mason. I think you could look back at some of those goals and how special they were.
Yeah.
To answer your immediate question, no, I haven't seen that in person. you know, you've seen it on TV and sometimes maybe on some replays, ESPN or NHL Network or whatever it be, but it was really fun to show the state what we had. Us in Moorhead knew about it. You know, people that have maybe been following knew about it, but they burst onto the stage and they definitely took a hold of it. They didn't shy away. It's an extremely exciting team to watch at times, as you can imagine, and some people view it. Like there were some times it was frustrating too, because you know, and that's their mentality, and that's maybe what makes them so special. We have the game in hand halfway through, and they're still trying to score. You know, like they're not content with what they were doing. But no, Zach's a special player, and it was really fun to let other people into the party for sure.
Coach, I want you to know this because you may or may not, but this says a lot about what this hockey tournament really looks like. Minnesota last night with the high school tournament at 20,491 fans. It's more than Florida, Philadelphia, Calgary, Boston, Ottawa, Colorado, Nashville. You guys, it just shows you how popular, how unbelievable this tournament really is, that these high school guys can get that kind of crazed fans out there, and it's phenomenal. I love the sport, and I think you guys are absolutely amazing. All of the different teams that made it down here for the tournament, just phenomenal, just exciting beyond words.
Yeah, and for people that have been to the tournament or people that have been lucky enough to be a part of it, just they know how special it is. For a week, these kids get treated like they're in the NHL. And if you were at the Drury last night with all the Moorhead alumni, there's a lot of guys that still reminisce about those days. So, it's definitely a special week, and we're really excited for our kids. And I know that, like myself, 20 years ago, me and my high school friends lost in the state championship. Really excited that these guys got to experience something we never got to.
John, congratulations. Thanks for showing us and giving us such an outstanding show. And the tournament was just so much fun to follow you guys and follow the Spuds. Congratulations on a championship. And I know you're probably headed over to the Mr. Hockey ceremony this morning because you got some pretty good talent up for that as well. So enjoy the day, enjoy the week, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
John Ammerman, head coach of the Moorhead Spuds, and I truly mean that. It was just such a fun, Pete. It was such a fun tournament.
Yeah.
And they didn't have – I mean, they did not have any easy outs. Mm-hmm. I think the most dominating kind of cushion they had was – last night when they go up, I think it was 4-0.
Yeah,
Not
enough has been – sorry to jump in here, but
no,
I don't think a lot has been said – enough is being said about that game last night, because I texted you guys. I said,
"Yeah,
do I text John now and get him booked for tomorrow's show? Because it's 5-1 after one." And, man,
I went
into Target, came out, and it was 5-3. I'm like, oh, boy, we got a game. And then sure enough, and you saw – to and I know we're kind of going long here, but you saw them take – You saw Stillwater take the delay game, pushing off the net, which I just thought was these are kids, so I'll give them benefit of the doubt. But it's a bad penalty. You can't do a push. You can't push the net off the moorings in that situation, in that kind of game. But they still were able to battle back and come within one goal. It was a great pairing of games yesterday. If you are a high school hockey fan, you couldn't have asked for two better games last.
Yeah. Northwest Minnesota.
You couldn't have asked for
Northwest Minnesota.
East Grand Forks.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, East Grand Forks wins in overtime. Yep. It's just this is and I know hockey's not everyone's thing, and I get it. But I mean, to me, this is just the most fun week of the year to watch these kids. If you go back. And I know we're long, so I'm going to cut it after this. But if you go back and watch the final goal for the East Grand Forks game, and I don't know the young man, and I apologize, I don't know the young man's name who scored it. But if you watch him, he scores the goal, he rips his helmet and gloves off, and he's looking into the crowd, and you can see in his eyes, there is he's in shock.
Yeah.
A good shock.
Yeah.
But he's completely, like, this moment is so big for him, and so like something you, even if you dream it, it's not the same. And that only comes from these kids who gave it everything they had, and we're getting a text line, and I agree, give some recognition to Stillwater. They didn't give up. And I kind of had a feeling that if they scored one, they could start to get some more. And then when they got close, it's like, okay, now the pressure's really on Moorhead to try to keep them out. So Fun tournament.
Yeah.
Great stuff. We spent a ton of time on it this morning. We'll step aside now. Let's talk a little Wild hockey. Jesse Pierce from Bar Down Beauties and NHL.com is going to join us next. I want to ask her what she thought of the Wild's moves or lack thereof moves at the trade deadline. We'll talk to her next. The Minnesota Wild make one kind of large move at the trade deadline, picking up Barzo, I believe his name. Brazo is his name. Justin Brazo. from the Boston Bruins. Jesse Pierce from NHL.com and Bar Down Beauties podcast joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Jesse, first, let's talk about the fact that the Wild didn't make too many moves at the deadline other than dealing a two-for-one. Tell me first about Justin Brazo, other than the fact that he's a monster. He's a big dude. What did the Wild get in trading for him?
I mean, that was really it. They also moved around some money a little bit, which is something that Bill Guerin desperately needs, even down the stretch here, to get recalls and reassignments and all of that good stuff. Hopefully, no more injuries, but just in case, it gives them a little bit of breathing room. But I think size was the big factor for Bill Guerin. He loves those big bodies, and those big bodies certainly come in handy during the playoff push here, during the playoffs in general. So that's kind of the big thing. He's got experience, too. I mean, he had some good ice time with the Boston Bruins, so that's always solid. In general, though, I think the size was a big. Also, he plays on the power play, and Minnesota Wild, as we've seen all season, can use any edge that they can get on the power play, which has struggled mightily. So I think those are the benefits. Bill Guerin, like you mentioned, not doing a heck of a whole lot because his hands remain tied with the salary cap.
Jesse, when are we going to see this team have more consistency? We've got these streaks. They win three games, lose three games, win two games, lose a couple games. That's just the way this season has gone. And we all know that there's a lot of injuries out there, but we just haven't been able to find that rhythm to keep these moves and win 7 out of 10 and something like that. Is there some reason behind that that you see as far as, is it the players that are actually on the ice, or is it because our injuries are just an unbelievable number?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's a little bit of both. You hate to use injuries as an excuse because every team goes through them. Even the best of the best have the same struggles as the Minnesota have done. Now, it seems like it's a constant theme with the Minnesota Wild the past 2 years, but injuries definitely play a role. I mean, you think of the line chemistry in general. When you have guys in and out of the lineup, as the Minnesota Wild have had, and when you're relying on guys who are coming up from Iowa, it gets hard to find that consistency. It gets hard to establish any sort of rhythm, even when things are going really well. And then to that second point, as you mentioned, Pete, it's the players. I think Marco Rossi, I look at, is the one player who has been consistent night in and night out. And I can't really think of any others who have done the same. We need to see that out of Matt Boldy. We've talked about that, how good he played at Four Nations. And to see that consistency carry on into the Wilds would be great, because Matt Boldy is a phenomenal player. But he has peaks and valleys right now. He's in that time of his career where he can't seem to get that consistency. So he's another player that I really look at that needs to find that groove. So basically, if we can all play like Marco Rossi and be healthy, it would be great. That's the key to it. But no, I think it's a combination of both for sure.
Health is a huge factor here. Jesse Pierce joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Jesse, in your mind, what does the lack of movement say about Bill Guerin and the Wild at this moment? Is it that he believes that this locker room has what it takes to make the run, or were there some swings and misses on deadline day that didn't work out?
I think it largely is him believing in this team. I mean, again, this is a team that he's composed, right? It's his guys. It's his guys that he also maybe locked into a few too many no trades and no moves as well. So bearing that in mind, he wasn't able to get a heck of a whole lot out there. I don't know that there were probably necessarily swings and misses, only because the asking price for so many players was so high. You know, I know Brock Nelson was a guy that Minnesota fans were very excited about the potential. And there's still potential for him to come back during free agency, because to my knowledge, Colorado hasn't extended him by any stretch, but he gets a first and he gets a high prospect and, you know, pieces that Bill Guerin, I don't think, was willing to part with. And again, he doesn't want to overpay for a rental piece, especially with the unknowns of Joel Eriksson-Ek and with Kirill Kaprizov and with Jonas Brodin now, too. You know, they are adamant that all three of those players will return by the regular season. So that also tied him up a lot, too, because he had to bear in mind that their salaries are going to be coming back during the regular season. So I think Bill Guerin, of course, likes to be active. He's a guy that likes to get in the mix, likes to get in the game, but he is showing his patience too, and kind of, you know what, this is what we're able to do. And he believes in not only the guys he has, but he believes that those three injured players will be back. So he kind of made his bed and is lying in it and committed to that.
Jesse,
don't get me wrong. I love Brock Nelson, but I'm not sure I'd give up a first round pick for a 33-year-old. Just me.
No, that's, I completely agree. I just, yeah, that was quite a bit.
Jesse, did you get a chance to watch much of the high school tournament? And if so, which teams impressed you the very most?
Oh, she was rooting for Matamidi, don't you know?
Oh, come on, don't you know? The Zephyr is going for my boys on Wednesday.
That's my backyard.
I know, it's great, right? You get to wear the Letterman jacket, because of course I do. I love it. No, I was surprised. The Zephs had a tough year anyway, so I wasn't necessarily too bummed that they got bounced right away, because I don't think it was their year. They just kind of were down in general. But yeah, I watched a ton of the games, and oh my gosh, I think this was the best tournament I've witnessed top to bottom. Like, the games in general were so good. Even teams that you weren't expecting to kind of do exceptionally well. You go Lakeville South, and them giving more had a run for their money. Stillwater had a really great team and made it a heck of a game in the AA championship against the Spuds. You got a little bit of new blood in there too, or blood that you've seen before but haven't in a while, with St. Thomas Academy and even East Grand Forks getting in there, and obviously the Iron Rangers with Hibby and Chisholm. So in general, I loved the competition. I loved the parity. I loved that every game was a game. And of course, I just love the hares, the turnouts, all of the good stuff that comes with the state tournament, right? It's just such a vibe. It's so much fun. It makes you very proud to be a Minnesotan for those couple days in St. Paul.
Wild hosting Pittsburgh this afternoon. Jesse Pierce from Bar Down Beauties podcast and NHL.com. Okay, it's the obligatory, where are we at with the injuries? Do we know anything more than the last time about Kirill and his chances of coming back? Clearly they think he's coming back at some point, or else they would have just put the LTIR and use that money towards something at the trade deadline. So he's going to be back at some point, but is there any more of an update this time, Jesse?
There's not, and I believe Bill Guerin would scream at me if I even broached the idea he did mention. And, you know, and I get that, with Bill Guerin saying, hey, I don't want to tell you guys 17 days, and it turns out it's 18, and you're all upset with me, right? Like, I do think Bill likes to be as honest as he can be, while also, you know, not full transparency. So, no update. Obviously, all of them not playing today. I don't believe any of them have started skating yet. So that's also a big indication of when they'll be back, right? I've heard Joel Eriksson-Ek is on crutches and probably even further away than we had hoped. He's the one that I'm even more curious about. Kirill, I think, is they just have an overly cautious surgeon that just really wants to make sure, and they have to be careful. And then Jonas, it's an injury he's been dealing with all year, week to week. I don't foresee any of them coming back within the next 2 weeks. I'll give it that. I think it'll be still at least another 2 weeks away.
Fair enough. Jesse Pierce, thanks as always. Always appreciate your contributions. Sorry the Zephyrs didn't go a little farther this year. But
Next year. We'll bring it back.
Next year's the year. Appreciate your time as always.
Yeah, right?
That's great.
Thanks for joining us. Thank you.
Thanks.
You hope that 2 weeks is okay, but clearly the Wild know things that the rest of us don't, right? I mean, if they didn't, then this roster would look different. I truly trust Billy Guerin. I do. Trust him.
The elephant in the room, though, still, and I've said this numerous times, is we are still a third place / wild card one team, some way, somehow. So the chips are still falling into our favor throughout the season.
Great start.
Yes.
Thanks to a great start.
Yeah, if it wasn't for that, we'd be in a regular, your cliche, you know, 500 wild team. Yeah.
Yeah. You cannot be reactive as a general manager. You just can't. And truly, Guerin, I think he did the right thing. I did not, I was not thrilled there, or he did the thing that, I shouldn't say the right thing. He did what he could do. He just didn't have a lot of opportunity. And there's no reason to make a trade just for the sake of making a trade. There just isn't, especially if you're going to have your guys back. So I trust Billy. I trust that he knows what's going on with the Wild, and I trust that this team is a playoff team because of that great start as well. We'll take a quick break and hit your texts on the talk and text line coming up next. We talked a lot of hockey in the first hour today. Some text here on the WCCO talk and text line. All high school sports are getting too expensive, especially hockey. Plus, you have to start in kindergarten to make the high school team. not entirely wrong. And I know that this was a comment I read on one of the articles this week, that in order to make a high school team, and frankly, this is any sport. It's not just hockey. You have to play like year round.
Yeah.
You do.
Yep.
If you're not playing year round, the only other path to high school is picking a sport that's not played by a lot of people. Mountain biking, skiing, lacrosse, all great sports. But you don't necessarily have to play year-round. But, yeah, it is a little crazy.
But I will say this, Dave. Honestly, yeah. if I'm a coach, which I'm not, but if I have coached in my lifetime, but if I'm a coach at the high school level, I would encourage my guys to go and do another sport. You play football in the fall, great. Yep. How about some basketball, right? Or maybe it's skiing. Whatever it is, have yourself a winter sport and then have a spring sport. Yeah, I know.
If you do, and I listen, yeah. I was an assistant coach, excuse me, for many years at a high school, and we did that. We encouraged our kids to do a spring sport. We said, hey, no hockey in the spring, go play, go play something else. But and you know what? We never got out of our section. It was only a couple years. We were a startup school, but we never got out of our section.
Yeah.
And the problem is that if you don't do it, someone else is, the other kids are, and it's hard to keep up in a landscape where hockey in Minnesota is the elite of the elite. And you don't have to look far. Go watch highlights from a high school game, a state championship game in Ohio or Texas, because they do have it down there. Go watch those high school games and then come back and watch. I mean, I have a friend whose son plays high school hockey in Shreveport, Louisiana. Yes, they have it there. I'm watching this game, and I'm going, this is really cool. I love that hockey spread to Louisiana.
Yeah.
But most of our Bantam C teams in this state probably could have given that team a run for their money.
Yeah.
And I mean, and because they don't play year-round like we do here, and it is a year-round thing.
And I think there are certain sports, and I think hockey would be one of them, where that is true. I think you can play football and still go play basketball. But I think to play hockey, and especially at the level that you know Minnesota has, you've got to be – you're right. I mean, you've got to be committed to that sport. And so for that, I agree. But I still love the idea that these kids, they if they can – because they don't get bored. They don't get, you know, run over because of the fact that they just moved over from a different sport. It's one of those things where I think it keeps you fresh throughout your 3 or 4 years of high school. And it's something. Well, how about – speaking of that, Dave, how about Mason West from Edina?
Yeah.
I mean, 6'6", 215-pound quarterback.
And he is athletic.
Yeah.
Boy, you watch him play. I mean, he's incredible and a nice kid, too.
He's academic.
But, yeah.
He's getting recruited by Cal Berkeley, which is, I think, a big deal. He has not been offered a scholarship yet by them, but they're looking at him. South Dakota, Marshall, a couple schools. But his ability at the hockey side, where does he stand for you? I mean, is he one of the top tier guys right now?
He is.
Now in
he's
high
up
school?
For yeah. He's up for Minnesota, Mr. Hockey. Uh-huh. And if you listen, he's 6'6" and he can move. anytime you can move at that size, you know, he probably needs and will if he plays college hockey or you know. And I don't know I know that he hasn't committed to a college yet, which is very interesting to me. The fact that he's his size and his talent, and isn't committed yet. Maybe they want to see something else. He probably could put on a little more weight, but he looks very much like a Blake Wheeler type to me, or a Leon Draisaitl. That's just this big, skilled body. Plays really well. The goalie, I believe it was for. I think it was Stillwater, is also a phenomenal baseball player. So there are athletes. I mean, Anders Lee, who plays for the Islanders now at Edina High School, was a standout quarterback and hockey player. And so were Zach Budish, his teammate, was a football player and a hockey player. So you can do both, but I do agree that I don't think it's a coincidence either. And we've talked about this before. That specialization in sports has led to more injuries in sports.
Yeah.
They're up. I mean, ask any doctor, ask any trainer at any of these places that say, you know, more kids are going at baseball, pitchers are going through Tommy John surgery younger. You're seeing ligaments tear in hockey and football way easier because they're doing the same things over and over and over, despite the fact that training methods have gotten better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing if a guy like Mason West, for instance, goes to, let's just say, you know, Marshall, whoever it is,
yeah.
If they've got a hockey program and a football program, do they allow them to do both? Because we've seen it done with baseball and basketball, yeah, and some of the other sports with football. But I'd be really curious, and I wonder if that's kind of, Dave, why he's waiting is he it wants to see that. Yeah.
It could be, and that's, you know, when Anders Lee was looking at colleges, I think the fact that he wanted to continue to play football, or at least play his senior season, might have had something to do with his commitment to Notre Dame. But I don't want to necessarily go there if it's not true. But I it'll be interesting, and it could be that. Because from the eye test, you look at that kid, watch him play, watch him skate, watch him shoot, and his size. He doesn't play like a guy who's 6'6". Mm. He plays like a guy who's 6'3". So much fun talking about hockey the entire first hour. We'll talk about football next hour, including why I think the Vikings made the very difficult, but...
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Correct decision not to franchise Sam Darnold. We'll talk about it next.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the final horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.